Okay, so we've just had these wonderful talks about dedicating in ways that I hadn't even thought of before from Venerable Chuni, and with a lot of enthusiasm, and it really has helped so that we don't waste our merit and our efforts. And now we're in a new session. Again, Vajrasattva is gleaming above our heads, and we are thinking, gee, what can I purify now? I've been through so many sessions, nearly 90 days or whatever it's been. But the Dharma always has something new to do. It really truly is endless. And in a very good way, it just goes on in the way that our eternally, infinitely, it's a quite expansive practice. So here we are, and we can do confession in relation to certain objects that we may not have thought of. And we're going to look at confession in relation to the three jewels. We're going to look at confession in relationship to our teachers, and then in relationship to our parents. These comments mostly come from a 2009 teaching by Venerable Chedron on this. And she was looking at and using Shanti Deva's confession chapter out of the Way of the Bodhisattva. And it's an amazing, it's chapter 2, it's an amazing chapter to read over and over and over. And she's looking at certain verses, so we'll use that as part of the framework. But you remember back when we were talking about karma and the heaviness of karma, and is it a complete karma and is it not a complete karma? But even if it's not a complete karma, we don't want to go there, as they say. So the heaviness of karma that we will experience, it's absolutely guaranteed unless we can get some of this purification going with it. It depends on many factors, as we've gone through before, the intention, the action, and now we're going to look closer at the object, at several objects of our destructive actions. You know, just on a common level, we have different relationships to different objects, and it's funny calling them objects because people don't, you know, in the West, we don't call people objects. It's kind of an insult, but this is just a technical term for the subject, the action, the object, a way to talk about it. But if you think about it, you know, either for your partner, your best friend, your child, when you do certain things towards them, let's say a kind of negative act, you feel something a little heavier than if you did this to someone in a grocery store. Now, this could just be our lack of equanimity, but really, we have special relationships, and the law even recognizes this, too. We have fiduciary relationships towards certain people. We've taken on certain responsibilities. We've built a more dense connection with them, and so it's just kind of logical that karmic actions, either positive or negative, towards these objects of our teachers or the three jewels or our parents would carry a heavier weight. We have a very special role, and they have a very special role towards us. So both positive things can be wonderful to do, small positive things, serving your teacher in what you might think is a small way. You don't know where that ripple goes out infinitely, and probably creates a connection that you will meet them again sometime. So just again emphasizing these, some objects are simply more potent for gaining merit, and they're also more potent when we do negative acts towards them. So we're going to look at the verses Venerable was teaching off of and commenting on, and there's many in this chapter, but there's four key ones, and I'm going to just read them. In this and all my other lifetimes, this is Shanti Deva talking about himself, but it's also all of us, of course. In this and all my other lifetimes, wandering in the round without beginning, blindly I have brought forth suffering. Every word is so potent in this. you know, blindly wandering without beginning in all lifetimes, and this blindly referring to our ignorance, of course, I have incited others to commit the same. Four lines, and there's so much in there. So that's verse 28. Then he goes on, I have taken pleasure in such evil, tricked and overmastered by my ignorance. Oh my gosh. Now I react to the word evil. I have a lot of trouble with it, but you can just put in suffering. I've taken pleasure in such suffering. And how did I do that? I was tricked and overmastered by my ignorance. That's so potent. And this is how we wander around. Now I see the blame of it. And in my heart, O great protectors, I declare it. Okay, there's the confession. And it's not this, we don't have to go further. We don't have to go into guilt and breastfeeding and emotional turmoil. Because that's where the self-centeredness will take us again. All about, I'm so awful now. But I just declare it. I declare I've done these things. And then he goes on to the special relationships. Whatever I have done against the triple gem, against my parents, teachers, and the rest. I don't know what the rest is because Venerable didn't really comment so much on that. But the triple gem, parents, teachers, and the rest. I guess it's everyone. Through force of my defilements by the faculties of body, speech, and mind. All the suffering I have committed that clings to me. It's really just so potent. That clings to me through many destructive deeds, all the frightful things I have caused to be, I openly declare to you, the teachers of the world. So that's it. These four incredibly potent verses out of Shantideva. And as he points out, it's an open declaration. I've done this. That's plenty. You know, we don't have to go further. I have done this. Owning up is huge. And that's it. And it involves all the 10 destructive actions. So we can work with these, with the three jewels, our parents, teachers, and go through all the 10 destructive actions, the four of speech, the three of body, the three of mind. How did I do these with my teachers, you know? And especially if you're a person, by the way, we get a number of emails, I'm looking for a teacher, I'm looking for a teacher. If you're looking for a teacher, do this. You purify all the past lifetimes that you had a teacher, didn't honor your teacher, didn't serve your teacher, didn't respect your teacher, and this clears all that out. So you'll find the teacher. This is what they mean when they say when the student is ready, the teacher appears. This is the student getting ready. So how did we do these? You know, well, there's the extreme example with the three jewels of, you know, burning Dharma books or wrecking monasteries or imprisoning monastics. And those are being done on the earth right now in Tibet, and or the statues that were shot up in Afghanistan, or historically, you know, different times that Buddhism was wiped out of this and that country. But most of us aren't involved with that. I hope if you're watching and you are, start purifying now. It will work. You can't get there. But for most of us, it's things like putting our Dharma books on the floor without a cloth under them, or stepping over Dharma materials. Or one thing I have to really work on is I do notes or Dharma things, and I stick them up on a shelf, and they gather dust, and I just leave them. It's like pretty awful when you think it's the words of the Buddha and the words of the Buddha through your teacher, and you're just, oh yeah, blithely putting them up there, and 6 months later you go, wow, look at all those dust bunnies. You know, it's like, what is that about? It's this mind of ignorance, you know. So mostly we would be doing that, keeping things in our Dharma materials or statues in low, dirty places, not respecting them. And the same for any representations of the Buddhas or our teachers. We really want to be respectful of them. One thing I like here at the Abbey is people can freely, without embarrassment, bow to any kind of holy object. I mean, so we're constantly coming in and bowing to the mural, at the mural, and bowing here and there. So it's a wonderful way to treat your holy objects. Also, offerings on our altars, Venerable pointed out, not setting them up mindfully. I do water bowls every morning on my little altar, and some mornings I get done and I'm in the bathroom or something and I go, wow, did I even do that? So this mindless, you know, but really wanting to focus and say, I'm making an offering and I want to really do that. And also taking them down, especially with any craving, like, oh, I really want that cookie, and so I'm really glad the day is over because I'm going to take it down and get it for myself. The other thing she has talked about is not getting caught up with, oh, this representation of the Buddha is beautiful and this one's not. This statue's pretty, this statue's not. That's just personal preference. It has nothing to do. We want to be honoring these representations and the effort someone made to make them. So we want to be thinking about that. Also not respecting monastics that were around for their vows that they're keeping and their renunciation. So those are common things we need to watch out for the three jewels, and that we can confess. And then I'm just going to do a little bit on the teacher today, and then I'm going to stop and we'll do more on the teacher and we'll do the parents the next time. So Venerable has said for our Dharma mentors, it has to be someone that we see as the teacher. And it's an interesting thing in Buddhism. You decide your relationship to the teacher. The teacher doesn't run around and try and get you and proselytize and set up the relationship. She has said this many times. You decide how close you are. You decide your relationship. You form the relationship by the work that you do with your mind and heart. And of course, then the mentor is an incredibly potent object because they guide us on the path. I climbed Mount Hood when I was quite young, in early 20s, and I'd never climbed a mountain before, and just on a whim. And luckily went with a group of very skilled mountaineers, because many things happened that were life-threatening, one of which was a snow bridge broke in when two climbers were on it, luckily not me, because I wouldn't have known what to do and would have been in a 1,000-foot crevice. But it's a great metaphor for, I wouldn't know how to get up there and get back down. And this is what the teacher is doing. We don't know how to get up there and get back down. As Venerable has said over and over, we've been guiding ourselves for endless lifetimes. And are you awakened with your own guidance, or the ones you followed? So we need to be following someone who knows how to go there and get back. And we need on the way to treat them with incredible kindness, service, and respect. So if we haven't done those, then let's confess them in our very next Vajrasattva. More to come.